House Finance, please come to order. It's 9:01 a.m. on the 31st day of January 2011. Members present are Representative Jewell, Representative Guttenberg, Representative T. Wilson, Vice Chair Faircloth Stoltz, Co-Chair Thomas, Representative Dugan, Representative Edgman, and Representative Costello. Representative Newman is another event in the building. Will be joining us hopefully before we move the bill out today, if that's the will of the committee. Anything before for the good of the order before we start? I'll invite Representative Hawker's staff to join us at the table. And Representative Hawker, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I certainly am. And if it's all right with you, I would like to present telephonically.
Since you're not here, that is a good option. please proceed, Representative Hawker.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, for your record-keeping purposes. I am Representative Mike Hawker. I represent District 32 in Anchorage, Eagle River, and the Kenai Peninsula. And, Mr. Chairman, I know you asked me to keep this testimony under 3 hours, and I'll do my best. But quite sincerely, I'm really, really am deeply appreciative of the committee making a special effort to hear this bill and move it on as quickly as we can. The bill in front of us is House Bill 16. House Bill 16 extends the sunset for the Senior Benefits Payment Program. The Benefits Payment Program was established in 2007, and unless we reauthorize it this legislative session, it will sunset on June 30, 2011. That is this June 30th. Across the state of Alaska, in December of 2010, there were 10,093 Alaska seniors receiving these benefits. The average age of those Alaskan seniors was 75, and the oldest was 105 years old. Honestly, I thought about trying to find that 105-year-old and get them to testify here. I think as folks remember, the Senior Benefits Program provides a simple monthly cash stipend, cash assistant payment to Alaska residents age 65 years or older who have very low household income. It is a three-tiered program based on the federal poverty guidelines, and we pay $250 a month to individuals with income of 75% or less of the federal poverty guideline, or FPG, if you'll allow me to use the acronym. We pay $175 a month to those individuals with income between 75 and 100% of the FPG, and we pay $125 a month to individuals with income between 100 and 175% of the FPG. We'd like to emphasize to folks that House Bill 16 does not change the structure of the program or any of the benefits in their amounts. It only extends the program for 4 years. But I would note that the federal poverty guideline is revised annually by the U.S. government, so we have an element of adjustment built into the program. The program has been tremendously successful and very, very well received by the senior community. And you've got a fiscal note in front of you that shows the program does cost us approximately $20 million a year. And there is a provision in statute that provides if the money appropriated in any given year is insufficient to meet the demands of the program, the Department of Health and Human Services is authorized to reduce or eliminate the benefit available to recipients. So it's a very nimble and responsive program. The benefit reduction provision that I just talked about, really along with the four-year sunset provision, is what gives us as legislators the assurance that this program doesn't become viewed as an entitlement, that the seniors, the citizens of the state of Alaska do recognize that we are able to do this as long as we have the fiscal means, and when fiscal means become more constrained, we will have to continue to set priorities. However, considering Alaska's current and projected fiscal circumstances, I sincerely believe the Senior Benefits Payment Program merits being extended for the next 4 years. I very much appreciate your hearing this and would be happy to respond to any questions, sir.
Questions for Representative Hawker from members? We're thorough, and there's certainly been a lot of discussion around the building about this bill, so that's not a lack of interest, but I think everybody is pretty familiarized with it. And it's the only bill in our bill packet, so everybody's had a chance to. But some days where we don't have that level of scrutiny. So, anything to add, Ms. Dalbridge, I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Okay. That will invite public testimony. And you're welcome to stay there in case you need to respond. So we will start out opening public testimony. We have Marie Darlin from Capital City Task Force, I believe, of the AARP, if I remember that correctly.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Marie Darlin, and I represent the AARP Capital City Task Force of Juneau. And you already have your letter from us with our support of this bill, and so I won't bother going through all of that. But we say that we do want our retirees to be able to remain in Alaska. And the senior benefit program, we know, helps them to do this. They are a vital part of all of our communities, as many of you know, who have had, I'm sure, a lot of not only contact with them, but maybe questions and so forth and so on. But you know that they are a big part of any community with what they contribute to it. And so we ask for your support for this bill so they can continue to remain in Alaska after they retire. And with that, we thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your participation. You've been here every step of the way since I've been elected, as I've been edging toward AARP eligibility myself. Thank you very much for your continued participation on this and other senior issues. Next, we have Denise Daniello, representing the Alaska Commission on Aging.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name for the record is Denise Daniello, and I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Aging. And I'm here to testify on behalf of the commission, as well as the more than 10,000 Alaskan seniors who benefit from the Seniors Benefits Program, to extend the sunset date for this program, as outlined in House Bill 16. This program provides a crucial safety net for so many Alaskan seniors. Approximately one in five seniors statewide benefit from this program. And it's not a large amount of money, but it can make a real difference in whether or not a person is able to afford basic life necessities, such as food, heating fuel, medicine, clothing, and other necessities. So we thank you for your consideration of this bill. Recently, we conducted a statewide survey of Alaskan seniors, and also found that approximately one in five seniors who responded to our survey said that they did not have the financial means in order to pay for life necessities. And approximately 17.5% of those who responded to our survey reported that senior benefits was an income source resource for them. So, again, we thank you for your consideration of this bill and moving this bill forward. And we believe it's good public policy to maintain this program. Because it helps older people to live with dignity and independence, which has a positive impact on their health and well-being. Thank you.
Co-Chair Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday I was having breakfast with a couple friends of mine live in Juneau here. One is 70 and 72, never heard of the program. So how do you advertise this if it's a well-kept secret that they didn't know it was around?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Division of Public Assistance and Ron Greer, who's the director for the division, can probably answer this question better than I can, but I know that they've done a public awareness campaign about senior benefits, and they continue to do so. When the commission has traveled to rural areas of the state, we have found, too, that some people are not aware of the program, and we relay that information to the Division of Public Assistance about the need of not only increasing communication, but to also translate that communication about the program in various languages so that elders, particularly those who live, at, for example, in the Bethel-Wade-Hampton area, region number one, which is a very poor region, are able to, you know, to know about the program. So we see that there may be also some latent demand for the program, too, because when the program was first established in 2007, some of the people who are now turning 65 may have not have known about the program. So, yes, thank you.
Is there a question on this item? Okay, thank you. Seeing no questions, thank you, Ms. Daniel.
Thank you.
We have two individuals that are here available for questions. I'll just make the inquiry, see if they have changed their mind and wish to testify. Robin Stillwell in Anchorage from the Food Bank of Alaska. Here for questions. Unchanged status. Mr. Crair from the Department of Health and Social Services, are you here? Did you have anything to add on the record? The record will reflect a nodding of the head sideways indicating no. Any questions for Mr. Crair? Well, looks like you're going to come up, Mr. Crair. So put yourself on the record and prepare for representative's question.
For the record, my name is Ron Crair. I'm acting director for the Division of Public Assistance.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. Could you possibly give us some idea of what overview you do, what outreach you do, an overview of outreach you do to seniors who use the permanent fund, or are you in senior centers, or what points of contact with the state when seniors are approaching senior people eligible for this? Do you have an idea when it's available to them, or just educated about it?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, we haven't done an expansive outreach campaign since 2009 when we used various forms of media to inform folks about the senior benefits program. Typically, our contact comes to folks as they age on, become recipients of old age assistance through the Adult Public Assistance Program. We contact those folks typically directly. But as far as broader outreach, over the since 2009, we have not done any that I'm aware of.
Thank you. Representative Faircloth and then Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions. The first one is Representative Hawker indicated that when the state makes an investment in this program, that it's a finite investment and that we have the ability or that you have the ability inside of the structure to refuse payment if there's no further funds available. And so I was going to the geographic distribution and looking at some of those areas that might need it more than others, specifically the Dillingham area that might need some outreach where poverty levels are very high in our state, unemployment is very high, but we only have 7 participants from the program there. And so, one, I would just hope that we're going back out to that community, but I hate to send the community to a dry well. And so that goes to the first question, and that is, if we have people in the system, are they grandfathered into the system so that the distribution payments keep coming to them annually, but if someone of greater poverty level comes in at the bottom and we don't have funds, we don't meet that person's need? Is it based on seniority in the program? Or I also looked at your crosstabs on the different amounts of payments that are available to Alaskans, 175% of poverty level, 250, 175, and 125, or is there a criteria balance based on the greatest need and how the people come in? And it looks like that's not the case because the 175 payment is the largest percentage of what we're paying out. So a couple questions in there, sir.
Representative Faircloth, through the chair, I may have missed one of them. So let me start with the one regarding our proration, if you will. If there's insufficient funds, I would hope that we would have that knowledge far enough in advance that we would be able to to make across-the-board reductions in payments so that we would not be forced to deny a payment to any individual. We may have to adjust payments so that everyone receives a lower payment as opposed to just running out of money paying people at the same level. My goal would be to ensure that there was some stipend going to every eligible household or every eligible individual, if that addresses your question.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, so you wouldn't come back and ask for an increased appropriation based on need. You would, based on those who qualified, you take the whole pool, basically, and divide that by the funds available and distribute payments out in that manner? I guess I'm asking for clarification in how you're applying regulations to, and if you're telling me it's never been a problem, then that's okay, and you should say so.
Through the chair, Representative Fairclough, it has never been a problem to date. We've never had to do any kind of adjustments to the payment levels so far.
Mr. Chairman, my concern is that we have baby boomers, per se, and apparently I'm not on that edge to qualify for benefits, but I'm really close. We have a significant number of our population that is aging there. The last question is just if the department's planning on doing some outreach in the Dillingham area just because of the numbers that I see in some of the communities based with population. The ratio is a bit different.
Any outreach that we would, through the chair, Representative Fairclough, any outreach that we would conduct would be statewide outreach and would certainly include the Dillingham area.
And before we go to Representative Jewell, the takeaway today is we're trying to prevent any kind of hiccup or interruption, and it's the fact that this is the first bill through the committee and the fact that the governor has a supplemental submitted. I'd hate for the message to be sent out. We're looking at reducing benefits for seniors because the fact that we're dealing with this today is just quite opposite message. It's certainly the purview of this committee to talk about potential scenarios, but our message today is we're continuing these benefits uninterrupted, but it's appropriate discussion, but sometimes the message that gets out is that maybe the headline legislature looks at reducing benefits, and when the fact that there is a supplemental submitted by the governor, and I think will be supported by all measures, there's a fiscal note we'll address with that, but very relevant discussions on the possibilities in the future, but those haven't been exercised. And I don't see them this year, but very relevant questions. But the takeaway today is I think that we are in a breakneck speed to try to make sure there's no interruption of benefits for our seniors. And second bite.
Mr. Chairman, I just was going to say I appreciate that follow-up because some in the room or listening online could take that away, but certainly that is not my intent for the conversation. My intent is to understand the program, understand the commitment that we've made to the seniors, and make sure that seniors who may need that bit of help are being approached so that they can get it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And Representative Jewell, sorry for the interruption.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wondering the position of the administration on this legislation. Does the administration support this legislation?
Through the chair, Representative Jewell, yes, the administration does support the legislation as it's currently drafted and as you see it before you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative T. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On your list of those who are receiving service, could you tell me why there are 8 people who are unidentified? Do we not know where they're located?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, no, I cannot tell you why they're unidentified.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to thank the bill sponsor for bringing the bill forward, and I certainly appreciate the expeditious manner that it's going through the process, and hopefully we do take action today. But that aside, just a quick technical question. If you have a household where both members are 65 and older, and a combined income obviously makes them eligible for this benefit, do both of them get it? Is there one payment to the household, or does the household get both checks?
Mr. Creer?
Representative Edgman, through the chair, forgive me, that's a technical policy question that is beyond my knowledge. I will get an answer for you today. And rather than make a mistake, I would prefer to talk with one of our policy folks about that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Creer. Are there any other individuals wishing to testify on this bill or make comments? Please go ahead and identify yourself for the record and render your testimony.
I'm Robin Stillwell. I'm the Director of Advocacy and Agency Relations at Food Bank of Alaska. And on behalf of the Food Bank of Alaska and the 75 members of the Alaska Food Coalition, I would appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today. So I would like to just mention briefly about speak to the outreach question. Beginning in June of 2009, the Alaska Food Coalition, in conjunction with the Department of Public Assistance, began doing food outreach on senior benefits in conjunction with food stamp outreach. So particularly in the Anchorage and the Matsu Valley, there is regular outreach going up in food pantries and soup kitchen areas for this program.
Thank you, Ms. Stillwell. So not every solution is from the government. Any questions for Ms. Stillwell? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals wishing to testify on this bill, House Bill 16? When once, twice, we will close public testimony. Before we go on to the general discussion of the bill, Mr. Creer, thank you for your time. But hang near in case we have any questions. A couple of folks up to talk about our fiscal note. Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Teal, did you wish to come up as well? Well, just why don't you just be in nearby in case you need to go to the bullpen, Mr. Armstrong. He's a strong finisher, so please identify yourself for the record.
James Armstrong, committee staff to House Finance. There's a new fiscal note numbers in your packet. Last Friday, I was made aware of a new fiscal note tracking and analysis program that Senator Stedman from the other side in this office had done over the interim. Their first crack at implementing this was House Bill 16, and there was some flaws in it. So Hess worked with Mr. Teal and Ms. Ryder Friday night at a new fiscal note. They both will, I think Hess and Budget Finance will nod that it is correct. And
see two affirmative nods for the record from Mr. Teal and Ms. Ryder for the record.
Apparently the growth calculations in the out years were off. And so there was $200,000 short in 13, $500,000 in FY14, and about $900,000 in FY15. So that is... And also, it also reflects in the new fiscal note that there is a FY supplemental of $1.3 million for the program that will come out in tomorrow's supplemental bill when the third floor releases it.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. Order during the brief at ease, we clarify the fiscal note we're dealing with, and it's the fiscal note dated January 28, 2011, 5:30 p.m., recognizing the late afternoon work on Friday. That is the fiscal note before us. As Mr. Armstrong referenced, it reflects the continued commitment of the administration toward this program with the supplemental that we're not looking at reductions as, you know, the potential scenarios addressed to dissuade fears, at least as this bill is starting here with the support of the administration. Mr. Armstrong.
James Armstrong, to the chair. There also is a spreadsheet that Hess and Pledge Finance thought it'd be good to have in the packets, and that'll show up on the numbers desk when it's on the floor this afternoon or this morning as well.
Give the members a couple moments to see if they have any questions here as well. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to know why such a big increase between 2012 and 2013. It's about $2.5 million. And then between 2013 and 2014, you don't see that jump. Is it because we're looking at more people getting into the program?
I'd have to bring representatives from
the administration. Right behind us as we kept them poised. Why don't you put yourself on the record again, Mr. Chair?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, that largely is a reflection of what we project to be population, the growth in the service population.
Follow-up, sir? And so this may be, you know, so we're not seeing the same jump in those other years, or is it just harder to look at those numbers as we get further out?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, to some extent there's probably a number of factors that are involved. When there's legislative interest, as Stilwell mentioned, other activities, we could probably anticipate some additional interest in that. But in the out years, it becomes a little more challenging for us to actually project the number of seniors, people over the age of 65. That's a growing population, as Representative Faircloth pointed out. Fiscal year 12 is when, according to some population statistics from the Department of Labor, you start to see a little bit of an increase. And then it starts to move higher after that, the percentage of seniors. So we tried to find kind of a median line for us to project out.
Thank you.
Mr. Armstrong.
If you members look at the fiscal note, too, in the governor's FY12 budget submission of the 15th, it shows $20,485,300. In this fiscal note, you'll see just before that in FY12, $1.9 million. That's from the conversations that Mr. Teal had, they're doing a projection. So it's, if you add the two together and then compare it to FY13, there's not that big of a difference.
And it's appropriate that we have a fiscal note submitted by the administration, resubmitted accurately reflecting costs. So this is the Finance Committee, and in the absence of Representative Hawker's Hawkeyes on this, we're trying to do our best to fill in the role that he was pretty diligent on here. And pending some calculations from Representative Faircloth, she may have a question. She's affirmed the veracity of claims, perhaps, which is good work in this committee. Any other questions for the group of folks up there? The new fiscal note is without objection, that's adopted. Any other general discussion by the committee? Representative Hawker, do you have any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'd like 2 points, if I might, sir.
Yes.
Again, for the record, this is Representative Mike Hawker. Just like to point out, you know, in this fiscal note discussion, this is a needs-based program driven by the qualifications we establish and then by the number of folks who choose to avail themselves of it. These fiscal notes are necessarily estimates and approximations. And again, each and every year that a budget is prepared, the agency will be refining the presentation based on, you know, the best and latest information. So we have to take sort of the growth picture of these fiscal notes with a grain of salt. the question that was raised and not answered regarding family participation in the program. Folks will look at the way the initial bill was crafted, the original language in statute. This program targets individuals. So every individual in the state is eligible to consider their whether or not they qualify. If a married couple, the qualification is based on that individual's household income. So two individuals married residing together are each considered, and their household income is considered in the application, not their individual income. And the household income numbers for the federal poverty guideline are different and adjusted to reflect the fact that you have more than one person living together. So it's really a self-balancing program. Yes, both individuals do qualify, but the eligibility criteria from the standpoint of a dollar standpoint is somewhat different than an individual residing alone. And with that, sir, that is everything, and I would certainly appreciate the support of the committee for this bill.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to thank Representative Hawker for helping us to navigate through these shoals. The members who were here will remember the difficulty we had getting through this program because of other situations that weren't under our control necessarily. And it's just nice to know that if, and I don't want to presuppose any action by the committee or by the House as a whole, but assuming that this goes forward, it will be much smoother than the last time we had to go through a similar situation, and I thank you for that.
I'd also like to thank Representative Hawker. Your staff has been great to deal with on this issue, and should certainly appreciate you helping us make this one of our, the first bill out of finance and the first substantive bill on the floor. So you won't be here in person, but your presence will be felt, Representative Hawker. Representative Jewell.
Thank you very kindly, Mr. Chairman, and I would always acknowledge all of us as legislators are only as good as the staff we have working with us, and I have great respect for my staff again this year. Rena Delbridge there and Paulin Swanson, who's probably back in the office working at the moment. So thank you, sir.
Representative Jewell.
Thank you. I'd like to associate my comments with the gentleman from the People's Republic of Spinard, and that I'm glad that this is kind of front and center and moving the way that it is. Because this whole topic, and I won't restrict it to just senior care, has been at different times in its history, very contentious subjects of special sessions, and now it appears to have smooth sailing and is on our plate for considerations. And I think we've learned a valuable lesson over time with regard to this particular population of people. And I appreciate the representative from Representative Hawker for getting this forward in the Finance Committee, for putting our plate front and center, and let's move it up.
I think we got over a glitch. The rules chairman is the floor manager of the bill, so that cleared up that problem. But that, any other closing comments or on the bill? Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I request that we move HB 1627-LS0135/A from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, that bill with the new revised fiscal note is reported out of committee. Please hang around to sign the committee reports. It's probably more important than most days because this is on the floor today. Nobody's cell phone has rung this year, but just in celebration of this auspicious occasion of passing our first bill, I bought donuts, so help yourself. We will adjourn into the 1:30 meeting. We'll continue our subject matter on
overviews
of something. Budgets.
Corrections and revenue.
So with that,
We stand adjourned until 1:30.